Welcome back to Tip TV Finance, where I'm joined by Ken Oldluger, who is a strategist, analyst, and general, very, very important person at City Index.
Carry on, yeah.
That's the idea. So what are you looking at the moment, Ken?
We're looking at what everyone's looking at. This week it's been mega bank, mega UK banks, not so mega really.
Yeah.
We've had Lloyds, we've had Barclays this morning, we've got RBS tomorrow. We also had not a UK bank, Deutsche Bank, which is quite important as well.
Made a profit. I was so disappointed. I thought that was it. I thought it was over and out.
They've all been doing remarkably well.
Come back from the
under
dead.
Under the circumstances.
I think they just got a loan from the ECB and they call that a profit.
Possibly. If you start looking at the details, it gets a little bit more messy, though, as we'll see.
I'm going to open up an account there now. You know, this current account at Deutsche Bank, it's got a nice ring to it.
They take your money. They lost $9 billion from a client's account. But, I mean, are you a sort of a hedge fund with, like, maybe $100 billion to spare?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay. Well, yeah,
all right, so should we look at some charts then before I rush off to my nearest branch?
Right, so obviously Lloyds was from yesterday, but very, very important nevertheless. We'll talk about the results first. So this was better than expected. On the underlying basis, they actually improved their third quarter profit. And we always talk about underlying when we're talking about the banks. If we look a bit too much in detail at the statutory profit, we usually see a loss. We don't like to see that.
Okay, statutory. So, that never sounds good, does it?
But nevertheless, an improvement and also... So what was it? It was like just about 100 million difference. Improvement relative to expectations, a bit of a dip compared to the same time last year. Much, much better than expected. The shares have the opportunity now to once and for all finally break free of that and what I've called the Brexit. Brexit resistance, which is established there. So it happens to be a 38.2%. Fibonacci retracement, for those of you who are into that. You clearly to see, even if you remove that sort of like a weird Italian numbering system, you can still see that it is actually a very strong resistance. It has the opportunity now, the impetus to do that. We also have, a bit more conventionally, technical-wise, a descending upper trend line, what's marked from the high, bisects the high that we saw on the day before we had a massive collapse, and also a gently sloping trend, which I believe I've noted on there, has some kind of like, has been tagged in November 2011, as well as more recently, as you can see. So this is a classic triangulation. And I think, I pulled this chart today, this morning, that Lloyds Bank has in fact gone on to break higher in the way that we expect triangulation to work. Now we just have the sort of like a resistance line to get through. It's bested the price a number of times since the summer, and it could well do so again. But basically
it looks like it's going up.
I think so.
It looks like the bank is back in business on a fundamental point of view from that perspective.
I'd say that the picture that we have from a fundamental point of view is much better than we suspected might happen this summer.
Yes, I'm disappointed because I wanted the CEO to come a cropper, but unfortunately it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
He says he's very happy.
I was going to say
Lloyds Bank.
He's very handsome as well.
Wouldn't he? Yeah.
So there we are. He's got everything.
I'd be.
Right, next chart, Barclays. So here we've got a rising wedge formation.
Yes, I'm into sort of wedges at the moment. Yeah. So Barclays reported today, again, better than expected. I think the quantum of beat is much better for Barclays than it was for Lloyds. To be expected, Barclays famously has decided to retain its corporate and investment banking, and within that it has a trading business, which Lloyds and RBS and a number of other retail-facing banks have decided to completely wash their hands of. Barclays, timely sort of decision, still in trading, one of the most volatile summers we've had for many, many years. market-wise, has benefited. But I think largely from bond trading rather than equity trading, yeah, which has been a bit sort of flat. What have we got? 1.7 billion underlying net profit, better than expected for most expectations. I was actually expecting about 1.7 billion, just throw it in there. 1.3 was the consensus forecast, generally speaking. How has it done this? There are a few one-offs, a couple of disposals in there, about 600 million, 700 million in total. We know about the benefits of having still a corporate bank in a volatile trading environment. these may well be exceptional earnings, which we're seeing the benefit of today. But nevertheless, we take, you know, we take our joys where we find them. Again, Barclays, like Lloyds, has the opportunity now. You can see that it's risen right up to that that high there, which was the high, again, the day before the Brexit collapse. Will we get over it today? I tend to think there's reason that we'll get over it in the medium term. I don't like what the momentum indicator is doing. It's kind of inverting lower. I think it's getting a bit exhausted right now in this leg. But, you know, I see no strong reason. I'm a bit less pessimistic than I was.
Wait for the break there on Barclays.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, and finally?
Right, so obviously we've got the election on the 8th of November. No one's forgotten about that. It's last starting to look like it's going to be Hillary Clinton for president.
I'm very upset.
I think you're not alone.
My hairstyle heroes is not going to make it. Yeah, I can't.
I always knew you were a Trump supporter.
It's that look I admire, you know.
So
where he goes like that.
The point about this is that both Trump and Hillary have got varying degrees of market unfriendliness. I think the market has decided that Hillary Clinton is probably, you know,
the least unfriendly to
markets. But nevertheless, healthcare, and I should say pharmaceuticals, of course, has become a bit of a touchstone between the two, you know, the Democratic nominee and the Republican nominee. We know that Hillary Clinton has expressly said that she's against these the drug pricing strategies of many large U.S. pharmaceutical companies. But we also know that she's been beaten quite a bit, you know, criticized for her perceived closeness to the health insurance sector, which is, of course, related to Obamacare. She has changed her views slightly under political pressure. She's more sided a little bit more with Trump, as she has done on the matters of trade as well, the other sort of touchstone. But now that Trump's kind of in the ascendance, we don't necessarily see that as much of a problem. We do think healthcare as a whole remains a key sector to watch. And we can see that in the summer, the healthcare sector, having tracked the S&P 500, the broader S&P 500, quite closely up to that point, even despite the fact that Trump's sort of candidacy now seems to be ebbing, it's still declining and it's currently underperforming the wider market, the S&P 500, in the year to date. There's something definitely to keep an eye on into the election and beyond. Just see what her hard policies will be, or whether they have an impact on that sector.
Ken Odluga, market analyst at Citi Index, thank you very much for coming in today.
It's always a pleasure.
We'll be back after the break.